Well, once again, I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ of All Souls Anglican Church. They're certainly praying for you. They've always been very grateful for the hospitality and care you gave us when we fled the Episcopal Church. It seems a long time ago now, 8 years ago. And we rejoice in our Savior along with you this morning. Now, our study this morning is going to be St. Luke again, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. It's page 878 in your pew Bible. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning we have the wonderful story of the conversion of Zacchaeus. Now, I remember as a boy in Sunday school sitting on an old oriental rug, flannel graph easel at the ready. Does anyone remember a flannel graph at all? Yeah, some of you might. For children, ask your grandparents. They'll tell you all about it. I remember my teacher, you know, putting up the sycamore tree. We kind of knew it was coming then, you see. The crowd came, and then Zacchaeus came, the little man, right? Then with Zacchaeus up the sycamore tree, and Jesus looking up at him. And then the last cutout of the crowd with the frowns and Zacchaeus looking down. Now, you know, this account is so familiar to so many of us. And because the story of Zacchaeus is told in isolation from the whole, I think it is wise for us to imply our principle of reading this much more closely. Now, to set its context, we have to understand what Luke is doing. We've reached the end of the journey to Jerusalem. It began in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, where he accounts the way in which our Lord Jesus set his mind. He was determined to get to Jerusalem. And for your homework, you can see how Luke has ordered the journey of the Lord Jesus to show how to become a disciple and to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. You learn from our Savior of the seriousness of sin, the wonder of saving faith, and the nature of Christian service. And then along the way, you see punctuated at various points various examples of our Savior's authority as the Son of God, as Christ the King, the Messiah, as he snatches back from Satan's hand the world weighed down by sin and fallen creation. And Luke also records three occasions the Lord Jesus has also taken his disciples aside to explain that when they reach Jerusalem, he will be arrested, tried, mocked, and crucified, but he will rise again from the dead. So we are in Jericho, and Jerusalem is just a day's walk ahead. So those who study the previous 10 chapters of Luke's gospel will have an advantage of the journey with the Lord Jesus along the way. And this will help you, you see, because you will know that our Savior's meeting with a wealthy chief tax collector named Zacchaeus is the fourth in a series of encounters with tax collectors. And the Lord Jesus has had these, and now he has one more right at the end of his journey. And this is significant. Now next, looking at the immediate context here, we read how Jesus embraced and blessed the children in chapter 18 as it concludes. But they were prevented from doing so initially, do you recall, by the disciples. We also learn how Jesus grieved for the rich young ruler who turned away. And at the gates of Jericho, he meets the blind beggar. You remember Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, as Mark tells us. He was the man who, in his cry for mercy from the son of David, was again what? Prevented by the people. But his cry has the Son of Man stop. Stop. Our Savior is determined to get to Jerusalem. But he stops, calls him, and restores his sight. And Bartimaeus, we know, followed the Lord Jesus from that time onward. Indeed, as Mark mentions, his son, Timaeus, we know that he became part of the early church after Pentecost. So we have these clues, you see, that we've reached the end of the journey. The next one is in the verse that follows that I did not read that you can see in your pew Bible. It's verse 11, where he tells the parable. Why? Because he is near Jerusalem. And verse 28 has him taking the main road as it leads up out of the valley to the heights of the city. And verse 41 tells us that he paused to take in Jerusalem's walls and buildings from that vantage point. To what? To weep over the city. So here we are, you see, at this hinge point, this last meeting. It's in some sense a full stop, a period mark in Luke's gospel. So what could we conclude from this? That this meeting is indeed the climax of the entire journey. It's also the climax of all that the Lord Jesus has taught along the way. Now, why would I assert this? It's what he says at the end. Luke makes it clear in verse 10, quoting Jesus, what? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now, I would argue that this is indeed the message of Luke's gospel, isn't it? You just have to go right back to the preface, where he reassures his patron Theophilus that the Lord Jesus seeks him in order to save him. So we would expect that within these 10 verses, we will find several important themes, and they are there, aren't they? Jesus shows a care, a love for the one rejected, for the marginalized one. There is also this great joy that comes when the Lord Jesus comes into your life. Do you see it there? Your sins are forgiven. The burden is gone. There will be challenges and there will be trials in the Christian life, but the greatest issue of your life is now settled forever because the Lord Jesus has entered your life. And it's obvious that the nature of the story captured Luke's imagination. There's a little clue here. Do you see it? Because, well, first of all, he's the only writer to record this story. And the other reason is in the original Greek. It continues here in the ESV that you have in your pew rack. And that's in verse 2. Do you see it? And behold. That's not just there for flourish. There's something going on here, you see. This conveys this sense that Luke wants to communicate to his patron. Something like, behold, do you see what I see, Theophilus? Do you see what I see in this Jesus? What he did that day, he's still doing it today. Can you see in Jesus what I see in Jesus? This is Luke's point right from the beginning. It is Jesus we are meant to see, not Zacchaeus. The story doesn't end with Zacchaeus. But the story ends with this big sort of roadside billboard of a message of Jesus' meeting with Zacchaeus. Do you see how Jesus comes to seek and to save the lost? This man who was lost, he still does. So we have three stages to the way Luke leads us to our wonderful Savior. Let's look first, notice where Jesus found him. Now, we don't even need to look at the passage, do we, to know where Jesus found Zacchaeus, right? He's where? He's up the sycamore tree. Every time when I walk around my neighborhood and I see a sycamore tree, I'm thinking, little Zacchaeus. We're so used to the story, you know what? I think we might miss the humor in this. It's not every day that a figure with authority far above yours, who may well intimidate you, put the fear in you, is found up a tree. You would not expect to find the chief tax collector of a region up a tree. Now, we know why he's there on this most important day of his life. Now, don't we? It's because he's short, very short, and he could not see through the crowd. And we can add from what we found out about tax collectors last Lord's Day, about the tax farm system I talked about, remember that? That Zacchaeus was up the tree also, why? Because he is a rich tax collector. What does that mean? It means he's hated by his fellow Jews. The sins of his life in extortion and abuse are far and deep. So the crowd is not going to cut this guy a break so he can stand in front. You know how you would probably do that? You would say, someone would say, excuse me, and you'd let them through. No. You know what I think happened? I think they moved tighter together so he couldn't get through. Up a tree. But there's something more here. There's something deeper here, you see. It's in verses 3 and 4. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, seeking to see, seeking to see. Do you see that repetition there? Now we know, if you've studied Luke's gospel, how Luke uses repetition to underline things. And that's the wonderful thing about this story. Of all people, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was. And it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, because being short, the crowd being uncooperative, he could have just said, oh, well, forget it, and go home. It's not because the crowd wouldn't make a place for him. Again, he could have just gone up and gone home. Instead, Zacchaeus, notice this, he's acting completely out of character. He's really out of his comfort zone, isn't he? What would it take for one of us adults over a certain age to go and climb one of the trees on the property here? Now, I think the kids in Sunday school would think that would be quite a sight, don't you? This event is so out of the character of this man's life. He wanted to see who Jesus was. And I think we can reason that, like the blind beggar at the Jericho gate, Zacchaeus had already heard about Jesus. Why would I say that? Well, he's the chief tax collector. His finger is on the pulse of trade and business moving north and south through the Jericho region. And in Luke's gospel, you meet similar wealth and influential men like Zacchaeus before this, especially tax agents like him. So we can see how, as it were, Luke prepares you for this encounter. And we could also reason that Jesus was so intriguing to Zacchaeus. Why? Well, he hears that one of the disciples is one of his former employees. A former tax collector is one of the 12, one of the inner circle. Zacchaeus would have heard how Jesus' reputation brought a lot of controversy because he had a habit of doing what? Accepting hospitality from tax collectors. Here is the man who gave sight to the blind, has left lepers cleansed, and he wasn't above having meals with tax collectors and sinners. We could even speculate that the way Luke organized his gospel in such a way that the story that I just told and examined with you last Lord's Day of the proud Pharisee and the humble repentant tax collector at prayer in the temple left the tax collector justified before God could be one of those stories that our Savior told regularly. Imagine if Zacchaeus heard it. Imagine the thought he could have had. Could it be true? We know this, don't we? Grace is amazing, isn't it? So when we hear this, could it be true? A tax collector saved, justified, and a Pharisee lost? That's why Zacchaeus acts out of character. Now, every believer here should not be surprised by this, because we know, don't we? We know how when the Lord Jesus begins to draw you to himself in his loving way, by his grace, we begin to act out of character. The Bible never interested you before, but then you're gripped by what it says as you read it. You've never prayed before. Now, you're crying out to God, have mercy on me. You've not really paid attention in the service before. But now you catch yourself listening to the sermon and He's talking about me. He's talking to me directly. Why? My dear friends, you know why. Because the Lord Jesus is coming near. New desires, new sense of need. That is where the Lord Jesus finds you. And for Zacchaeus, he knew that wealth will not buy him love or acceptance with God. Have you considered this, my dear friends? You can be a billionaire many times over, but you are still too poor to buy acceptance from God. Only the blood of his son can do that. So that is how Jesus found him. Second, what Jesus said to him. Do you think it's astonishing that Jesus said anything at all to Zacchaeus? We can see it today in the same way. You know, there's a road crowded with the press of people. School might be out for the day. Middle-aged school children, teenagers climbing up trees, climbing up road signs, lamp posts on either side of the road to get the view. Because every kid knows this. You know this. Climbing is fun. So any excuse to be told, not to be told, come down from there. On a day like today, you're going to take it. It's worth doing. Chaos. Noise. But notice what happens in verse 5. All that going on, but when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Jesus stops. His determination to reach Jerusalem is set aside. He stops. He looks up and speaks to Zacchaeus. Today I am coming to your house. Now, did you notice what Jesus did not do? He doesn't speak sternly to him as if to shame him for the sins he has done in his life, in his work as a tax collector. Why didn't Jesus expose Zacchaeus' need right there, pinned up a sycamore tree, and just preach the gospel to him? It's because the tax collector is up a tree. That fact told our Savior that this is so out of character, it was sufficient to tell Jesus that the Spirit was working in such a way that was exposing his need already before him. There is no point in this story. Have you noticed that Zacchaeus even has his sins mentioned by our Savior? Why? Because there is no need to do it. The Holy Spirit has been at work. It's already convicted him in his heart of his sin. Zacchaeus knows it. Then Jesus stops. The Lord, who is the gospel, who will do his great work of salvation so that we have a gospel message to tell about him. Here is Jesus in front of Zacchaeus, looking up, and their eyes meet. Zacchaeus, come down quickly. I am coming to you to stay. And he comes down. You know, it actually is a very quiet, undramatic conversion. It's very simple. He's in a tree because of his need. He's in a tree because he's already heard so many wonderful things about the Lord Jesus. And he has hope that Jesus is his answer. And Jesus stops and says, I must come to your house. So he comes down the tree, takes Jesus home, where Jesus then says in verse 9, what amazing. Today, salvation has come to this house. It's a wonderful, undramatic conversion. Let me encourage you. Maybe you have come quietly to the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're one of those who can't even remember when it happened. My dear brother and sister, do not second guess yourself, comparing yourself to those who come to our Savior dramatically. It's not the means, it's the object, isn't it? It's the same Jesus. It's the same Savior. He called for the blind beggar on the road and gave him sight. He called a man up a tree. Now, let me ask a question. What does this meeting with Zacchaeus have in common with the other three that came before it? You have to look in your Bibles to figure this one out, maybe. The real obstacles placed between the person and their Savior, there are real obstacles. You see it there. The apostles prevented the children. Wealth prevented the rich young ruler. A crowd prevented the blind beggar. Zacchaeus' occupation and his stature prevented him. All of these have the same thing. All have obstacles. Obstacles. Now consider this. Did you notice the ones who did not come are the ones who have no obstacles at all? Now, many people have obstacles that hinder them from coming to Jesus. We know them, don't we? Family, school, peer pressure from friends, all saying to you, don't go to Jesus. But have you ever considered the real tragedy? The tragedy of the ones who have no obstacle to come to Jesus, and they never come to him. Oh my. Pray for them, my dear friends. Why? Zacchaeus came. Jesus spoke to him words of life, and he transformed him. How does Jesus transform him to finish? Well, think of it like this. If you were to go home and write a check and give away half your total assets and to give away four times the same to anyone who claims you had wronged them, what would you know? Something's changed. Something dramatic has happened in your life. You would know this, wouldn't you? But have you noticed the other interesting thing? Jesus never mentions money. He doesn't have to talk about money. Isn't that strange? Not when you realize what your union in Christ really means. What do I mean by that? Well, it's an old Puritan idea. It's amazing what falls out of your hands when your heart embraces your Savior. Because you have to let go of it first from your heart. So whatever you are holding on to in your heart, whatever that is, you have to let it go in order to embrace Him. Whatever you're holding falls out of your hands because it falls out of your heart first. Jesus wonderfully changes this man's life. You know, there's an old hymn that says it like this. I checked the new Trinity Psalter hymnal just to make sure it's there for you if you want to have a look. It's 466. I don't know if you have a copy at home, but you may want to ponder what it says in your devotions this week as you close. It's this: I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew he moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true. No, I was found of thee. Amen. My friends, let's stand and sing our final hymn, O Fountain of Unceasing Grace, number 458.